We are a church who have always, from the beginning, loved and treasured and valued the marriage of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We believe that we can love and study and submit to and treasure and hide God's Word in our heart and cultivate and welcome the speaking of God's Spirit in our midst. We believe those things aren't in contradiction, but they go together. The same Spirit who breathed out this unchanging word is the Spirit who speaks and applies that word to us regularly, applies that word today. And so what we're doing for 4 weeks, 2 weeks now and 2 weeks in October, is to dive in there and try to unpack some of how does the Spirit of God speak to his church? What is the speaking of God's Spirit? So this is not a series about the whole work of the Spirit. That would take months and months and months. We're not doing that. So we're not talking about the fruit of the Spirit changing us into his image. We're not talking about the role of the Spirit in salvation. We're not talking about the Spirit uniting us with Christ. All hugely important work of the Spirit. We're focusing in our attention on the voice of the Spirit. When the Spirit speaks, that's our narrowed focus. And so I'd invite you to stand as we read God's word and listen for God's Spirit. We're in John chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. This is Jesus speaking in John 16, verse 12. And he says to his disciples, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is God's word to his church. Thank you, Father. Father, and we come before you as we give attention to your word, as we give attention to the speaking of your Spirit. We ask for grace. We ask now for the work of your Spirit in our midst, in this body. We are your church gathered to hear and to receive what it is you desire for us to hear. And so, Lord, make our hearts ready, prepare our spirit, our soul to respond to your word. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord. I pray that I would get out of the way and that your work and your word would accomplish its will. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you for your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, the Spirit's voice. A voice is a sign of personhood, right? Voice is a sign of life. A voice is a self-expression. One's voice is loaded with meaning. With our voices, we express our existence. We make ourselves known. With our voices, we cry out for help, right? With our voices, we speak in love. With our voices, we can injure, we can tear down, we can harm others with our voices. We've done this. I've done this. Our voices have power. To say that someone has a beautiful voice, you're saying more than, oh, they make pretty sounds out of their mouth, right? We say that they're infusing voice with meaning, sound with meaning, and that's a beautiful voice. To say that someone is voiceless, a cry of injustice, means that their personhood is being snuffed out. To say someone has a voice at the table, on the other hand, means that they're invited into a creative process to help. They're honored. Voice is important. Voice is important. And we live in a time, Bill referred to this, we live in a time where we are engulfed in voices, are we not? So many, pulling us in so many directions. Which voices shall we heed? Which ones should we pay attention to?
And when I can get overwhelmed by the sheer number of voices that are coming at me through the written word, through spoken word, encouragement, opinions, criticisms, what voices should receive our attention? The Spirit of God has a voice. God is speaking to his church. God speaks to his church. The Spirit of God has a voice in the fullest sense of that word. He is a person. He cries out. In the scripture, we read, the Holy Spirit says this or that. The Holy Spirit testifies to this or that. The Spirit of God has a voice, and God is speaking to his church. God himself, the one who holds the stars in balance, who opens every flower, who brings out new life in the womb, God himself is speaking to the church. This God. And so if God is speaking, should we not listen? Right? Should we not listen? Doesn't it benefit us to try to understand how he speaks, to try to recognize his voice? The Spirit speaks. And so do you find the Holy Spirit hard to understand? And I want to relieve a little pressure if you're feeling like, what's going on with the Holy Spirit? I mean, let's diffuse any pressure in the room. I mean, we are all learners here. We're all in process here of learning. What does it mean when Jesus says, I'll take from the Father what is mine and give it to you through the Holy Spirit? What's going on? I think, don't feel bad. I mean, the Spirit is hard to conceptualize. We are body. He is spirit. We are bound to time and space. He is not, right? He can be at all places at all time. Jesus compares the Spirit to the wind. He says, John 3, we hear its sound, but we can't tell where it's going or where it's been. The Spirit of God won't be bottled up. He won't be controlled. The Spirit speaks. But it's hard to understand because he speaks in a way different than we do often. So how does he speak, right? Before we move on, let's run here in place for a few minutes. How does the Spirit of God speak to the church? And to do that, we have to always begin with the scripture. To answer that question, we begin with God's word. The Spirit speaks the word, and therefore he speaks through the word to the church. We have to begin there. The Spirit speaks the word. When Jesus himself was tested in the wilderness, he walked out. It said he was led by the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Spirit of God. You can read this in the scripture. And he was walking in the word, in the Spirit, I would say probably stronger than any one of us ever have. Some people may disagree, but I think that this Jesus was filled with the Spirit in a way that I've probably never experienced. And he's walking in great power of the Spirit, and the devil comes to him to pull him off mission, to pull him off course, to tempt him. And what does Jesus say? What does Jesus do? He says, he answers Satan by saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. He answers Satan by quoting the word at his defense. Ephesians 6:10 says, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So God speaks to his church through the word. Earlier this year, a sickness came through our home. It comes through everyone's home, and we were just so tired and sick and worn out. It was hard for us to pray. It was hard for us to read. It was hard. We didn't have any routines for over 2 weeks. But God in mercy filled me with Psalm 13:5 and 6. But I trust, how long, O Lord, how long? But I trust in your unfailing word, in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And so time and time again, the Spirit spoke that word to my heart in the midst of this, sickness, in the midst of not knowing which way was up. God's Spirit brought that word out and gave me an anchor for my soul. You have been good to me. You've been good to me. I can trust in your unfailing love. The Spirit of God brings out the word of God in our defense. He speaks through the word. The sword of the Spirit against any weapons of despair, against any weapons of destruction. What a gift, right? The Spirit speaks through his word. Our Bibles, you may know this, but let's be reminded or let's hear it afresh for the first time. These holy scriptures, they are the Spirit's voice to us. Written by men throughout centuries, 66 books over 1,500 years, and yet all these folks were instruments of God so that his voice would be encoded and preserved for the church for all time. This is God's word. These collections of songs and letters and prophecies and gospel and history, they're the plumb line of truth for us. By them we know the Lord. By them we know what is true. God speaks through his scriptures. They are trustworthy. Everything else he says to us is applying his written word to our lives for all time. God has submitted himself to this form because of our frailty, because of our weakness. If you think about it, he has submitted himself to the scripture to be preserved for all time. When we say that the Word of God is living and active, we're saying because the Spirit of God himself makes the Father and the Son known to us through the Word. And so he speaks on a foundational level with the Word of God. We have to start there. And upon that ground, and never in contradiction, the Spirit still speaks. He speaks through the voice of others. He speaks through the voices of people, proclaimed in and through churches. The words of prophetic, the words of wisdom and knowledge, the word preached and the word of encouragement from a brother or sister. God's voice comes to us through the voices of other people. That's how God has chosen to speak. The Spirit can enliven our human words so that they become his words to us, his personal, powerful, alive words to our very souls. God can do that through another's voice. He speaks through the written word, through the voice of people. He also speaks through our spirit. He speaks through our spirit. These last two move together. I mean, have you ever been in prayer for someone and interceding before the Father for someone else, and you felt like the Lord gave you a word of encouragement or a picture for that person, and you mustered up the courage to go and to share a word of encouragement with someone, and when you shared it, you could tell that this is beyond anything that I could have come up with for this person. The words you said were beyond any wisdom that you had because the Spirit of God cut to their heart and encouraged or challenged or motivated in a way that only God can do. I've been privy to this so many times in the church over the last 6 years. God speaks through the voices of people. He speaks through our spirit. Through prayer, through dreams, through impressions, through visions. He uses the functioning of the minds he's given us. This is a harder one to walk in, is it not? I mean, how does this happen? How does he use our minds to speak? I'd like to submit that no one questions the existence of their own inaudible thoughts, right? You don't question the fact that you think, right? You're thinking right now. You're thinking about a quarrel at work or a quarrel at home. You're thinking about a project left undone. You're thinking that you're bored senseless. You're thinking about the fight last night. What are you thinking? You're having a narrative in your mind right now. Maybe some folks are thinking about the voice of the Spirit and how does this work? But you're all... You're all thinking, right? And you're not questioning the fact that there's a voice in your mind right now. We don't question it. So why can't the Spirit of life, the one who formed the synapses of our brain, why can't he speak in the same way? 1 Corinthians 2 says, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, right? So here's what's happening, right? The Holy Spirit knows and discerns the mind of God, who knows the very thoughts of God, and then we are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God comes and dwells and lives within us, and then the Spirit makes divine realities known to us. The only one who knows the mind of God, as he's living in us, makes clear what God is saying to us and to his church. That's a gift. That's remarkable. He reveals the mind of Christ to us and for us. The scriptures are filled with examples all of this. Over every Old Testament book, nearly, the Gospels, Acts, God is speaking. He's speaking to the church through the written word, the spoken word, through our spirits. God has a voice. God has voice. And so if all this is true, right? We were treading water there for a second. If all that is true, just understanding the voice of the Spirit, then how do we know? How do we know when we're hearing God's Spirit or another Spirit? How do we know when we're hearing God's Spirit or our own voice? I mean, there can be a lot of wacky, dangerous voices that claim to be spiritual. Can there not? People have committed horrible crimes because the voices of their mind told them to do it, or they're responding to the voice of someone they trust. How do we know when it's the voice of the Spirit that is speaking? What distinguishes the Holy Spirit from our own thoughts? What distinguishes the Holy Spirit from mental illness or from the demonic? How do we know? I mean, part of the answer comes from understanding biblically the reasons that he speaks. Why does the Father speak through the Son, through the Spirit? Why does that happen? And I want to group them in three purposes. The voice of the Spirit, it glorifies the Father and the Son. First and foremost, the voice of the Spirit glorifies the Father and the Son. The voice of the Spirit edifies, builds up, and strengthens the believer. And the voice of the Spirit edifies the church as a whole. So those are three big purposes. Today we're just homing in on the first purpose. The Spirit speaks to bring glory and honor and renown to the Father and the Son. That's why he speaks, so that God would receive glory. That's why he speaks. And so you know you're hearing the voice of the Spirit when that message brings glory and honor to the Father and the Son, in keeping with God's love, in keeping with God's holiness. The Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. The Spirit doesn't say, look at me, look at what I can do. He points to the Father and to the Son. The Spirit never belittles the Christ or the Father. The Spirit doesn't even tear down the image of God in a person. The Spirit honors the Father and the Son. The heart of the Spirit is to lift them up, to enlarge our worship of God, to enlarge our worship, to say, God, you're good. Father, you're beautiful. Christ, you're wonderful. The Spirit of God desires that in us. He is a revealer, right? No one image can capture this, but the Spirit reveals. I envision the Spirit like the sunlight pouring through the clouds. I've always been gripped by those images. Have you not? The sunlight just pouring through the clouds and illuminating a portion of a landscape. A couple weeks ago, I was coming in for morning prayer, and I came around a corner, and there it was. The clouds were parting in certain ways, and the sun was just pouring through the clouds, it was beautiful and majestic, right? This is an image of natural beauty. But I, when I see that, I feel like it's a picture of the Spirit's voice pouring through the clouds of life so that we might set our hearts on things above. The Spirit cutting through what is dark, the Spirit cutting through what is misty and foggy and revealing the Father and the Son to us. The Spirit pouring forth beauty and truth into our lives. He cuts through what would try to darken our love for God. He brings attention to the Father. He brings attention to Jesus the Christ. He brings attention to the one who is over all and in all and through all, as we saw last week. He is a revealer. The Spirit is a revealer. He takes us by the hand and he leads us. That's what we read in John 16. He guides us as one would guide a blind person. He guides us into truth. He guides us into intimacy with the Father. He guides us out into mission. The Spirit of God reveals and guides us into truth and intimacy, into mission. And so at the most basic level, how does the Spirit glorify the Father and the Son? He does so by guiding us into truth. Like taking the hand of a blind person, he guides us into truth. Pontius Pilate asks, what's truth, right? Our culture wonders as it wanders, right? What is truth? What is true? We live in an age where there's the attempt to claim that there is no absolute truth, or that everyone's truth is equal. But then we realize in times of trouble, wait a second, we have to be able to discern right from wrong. We have to be able to discern good from evil. We have to be able to make sense of life and death. And we've been responding to the rally and the ugliness of racism and white supremacy in our town for a few weeks now. But what has emerged post-rally is a truth claim, right? That was wrong and evil and the violence in the name of whatever you believe. That is wrong. Racism is wrong. That's a truth claim, right? And the culture as a whole or a majority of it is saying that is wrong. And you know what? We agree with that. But where do people get their truth? On what basis do folks stand to make that claim that racism is wrong? We believe that is wrong because God's people are fashioned in His image with equal meaning and value and purpose, and the diversity of people reflecting the beauty of His person, that no one person or one people or one language or one race can capture the beauty and diversity of God. So we believe on that basis that the scripture is our foundation. So what is truth? Jesus has said, I am the truth, right? And we know the Father is the eternal source of truth. The role of the Spirit's then, the role of His voice is to lead us into that truth more and more and more, that we are directed and guided into truth. Jesus calls the Spirit of truth three times in John 14 and 15 and 16. He is the Spirit of truth. And so how does He guide us into truth? How does this work? In John 16, 14, what we read, it says, the Spirit will glorify me because it is from me that He receives and makes known to you. In other words, the Spirit glorifies Jesus by taking Jesus' message and pressing it home on us. Right? From Jesus to us, through the written word, through the spoken word, through the Spirit speaking in our spirits. Jesus' message pressed onto the original disciples and then onto the church for all time. It glorifies Jesus when we hear His good news. It glorifies Jesus when we respond to His good news. It glorifies Jesus when we live this good news, and the Spirit makes that possible. The Spirit makes that known, how to do it. He is a revealer. And so let's look at one example. When we hear and believe Jesus is Lord, that is a truth claim, is it not? Jesus is Lord, and we can know that that is from the Holy Spirit. If you're responding to that truth, Jesus is Lord and no other, that is from the Holy Spirit. It was 20 years ago, God showed me that, you know, I was maybe fond of Jesus at some sort of distant way, but He was not Lord. He was not Lord. The Spirit enables that message to be received, that message to be proclaimed. Jesus is Lord. In every age, there are would-be lords, are there not? That are calling out for our attention, that are calling out for us to follow and to obey. Worship me, says success, right? Worship me. Follow me, says perfectionism. Give your life to me, says an addiction. Those are lords over our life, demanding us to follow. And yet the Spirit of God says, no, Jesus is Lord. Submit your life to me, Jesus is Lord. This is truth. It's just one example of how the Spirit of God guides us into truth. As we say, yes, Jesus, you are Lord, I submit my life to you, that's truth, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so he does not take us into lies. He cannot lead us into deception. He does not take us into places of destruction or the places that break us down away from Christ. That is not what the Spirit does. He guides us into truth. He guides us into truth. And upon that foundation, the truth of the Father and the Son, by guiding us into truth and making the gospel known, the voice of the Spirit glorifies God by drawing us and guiding us into intimacy with the Father and the Son. That's what the voice of the Spirit does. He draws us into intimacy to know and love the Father and the Son. Hearing leads to knowing. Right? When we believe the message of Christ, we are invited into relationship. The bright beams of his light and truth, they come from the Father and they come through the Spirit to us. Why? So that we might know and love and be intimately connected to the Father and to the Son. Did you know that that was one of the purposes of God for all time? That when he created man and woman, he created us so that we'd be in relationship with him for all time. That's why Jesus can say, it's good for you that I'm going away. He told that to his disciples. It's good for you because unless I go away, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so it's the coming of the Spirit that draws us into a relationship with the Father and the Son that we would not be able to have. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Do you hear that? I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And again, later on in John 15, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. That's astounding. We will come and make our home with them. The Spirit draws us into relationship, into intimacy with the Father and the Son. As he dwells in us, the Spirit speaks so that we know and so that we love God. He reveals the Father's heart. He reveals how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God for you. He reveals that. And so that you can walk in that and know that deep in your heart, deep in your soul. The Spirit, the voice of the Spirit is like gravity drawing you to the Father to know and love and be known by the Father. And this is good for us, is it not? But the point here is that the Spirit glorifies God in this. Have you ever thought about that? Of course we know that knowing the Father is good for us. We assume that on many cases. But have you ever thought about the fact that our relationship with God is good for God? The Spirit, the voice of the Spirit glorifies God in that. Our relationship with God is good for God. Not that we add anything to him. Not that he's lacking, that we supply any missing part. He wasn't lonely. No, why is this good for God? Why is our relationship good for God? It's because our intimacy with God glorifies him by fulfilling his purposes and allowing him to do what's at the very core of his being, which is to love. The very core of God's being is to love and to pour out love. And as we come into relationship with him, he is free to pour out even more of what's at the very core of his being, to pour out his love into our hearts, his love into your heart. And so as you walk in the love of God, know that you are delighting the heart of the Father, that you are delighting the heart of the Son, that they would know and walk with you. That's at the core of who God is, to be a God that overflows with love towards people. That's why he created. And so the voice of the Spirit does that. The voice of the Spirit beckons us, draws us like gravity to know the Father and the Son. And ultimately, finally, where does that lead? It leads us on. It sends us on into mission. It sends us on. Knowing God is inseparable from serving him, right? We don't hear him without knowing him. We don't know him without serving him with our whole lives, with our whole hearts. It's in places of drawing near to God that we are changed and sent out, that our gifts are known and he uses them out in the world for his sake. It's in these places that the Spirit speaks and sends us out. He longs to testify about Jesus, not only to us, but through us. These are the words of Jesus. He says, when the advocate comes, this Spirit of truth, when I send him, I will send him from the Father, he will testify about me, and then you also must testify. Chapter 15, 26 of John. He will testify about me, and then you must testify. It's what the voice of the Spirit does through us. He causes us to testify. He sends us out in mission. And so it's no wonder when the church was gathered and they were worshiping and there were prophets and teachers among them in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, they were worshiping God. The Holy Spirit said in that setting, set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart these two men for the work to which I have called them. It was in the atmosphere of worship and of relationship and of love that the Spirit sent out Paul and Barnabas. And so who among us is hearing the Spirit's call for mission? Right, we've spent years now saying you are all missionaries, right? We are all called to cross borders and boundaries for the sake of Christ, for this kingdom. Who among us is hearing afresh or anew for the first time, maybe, a call into mission? Are we listening? As you gather with spiritual friends, with D groups, with small groups, as we gather as the church throughout the week, not just in this gathering, are we listening for how the Spirit of God is sending us out? Are we listening? This sending brings glory to the Father. It brings glory to the Son. Why? How? Because it widens this circle of his love, right? It widens the circle of his love, his heart, that people from every tribe and nation and language and people group on the entire far corners of the earth will know and follow God. This sending spreads out the reception of his love across the world. And that glorifies God. And so, in an age of voice overload, and we're living in that age, right? Voice overload. There is one voice that always places us in the stream of what is true and right and good and pure and noble and trustworthy. There's one voice that's worth listening to at all times. There's only one voice that is always working to move creation to its design purpose, which is the glory of God. There is one voice, the voice of truth, the voice of the Spirit. And so are we listening? Church, doesn't it make sense in light of this to learn to listen and cultivate the voice of the Spirit in our midst? Next week, we'll talk about the Spirit of God strengthening an individual believer in a body of believers. Doesn't it make sense to learn to listen?